Hey, Fish and Frank here, and we've got Captain Bill Hoffman on the line, and we're going to get to a fishing report here, if I can get that music to go away. There it is. Music's gone. Bill, are you there?
I am there.
Yeah, that's one of us. somehow or another, my buttons keep all getting moved here, you know?
It's the whole radio thing.
Yeah, little buttons and dials and knobs and stuff. All right. So anyway, so what's up? You been out fishing lately?
Yeah, man. Fishing pretty good. Hit the west wall day before yesterday. Did a 4-hour afternoon trip. Lots of small redfish. Nothing overtly exciting, other than the fact that with the color of the water there, stunningly beautiful. Tarpon everywhere. I mean, not big ones. 30, 40 pounders, but man, they were all over the west wall. And rumor has it that the early bite is ridiculous on the west wall for the tarpon, the small ones.
Wow.
Yeah, and the snook with the hard outgoing tide in the afternoon, the snook have just been on fire. I can't, it's hard to even explain. They're not big, but there's, you could catch hundreds in an afternoon. I mean, they're just everywhere. Artificial live bait doesn't matter. They'll eat it all.
All right.
Just get on a good point with a heavy flowing current, and most of the time you see them busting right on the point. You know they're there. You don't even kind of.
What kind of artificial is you using?
I'm throwing a little bit of. I throw gulps quite a bit. I'm throwing some mirror lures and any kind of Rapala is my favorite. Obviously, if I'm snook fishing, I'm
throwing a Rapala. What Rapala are you throwing?
Well, I throw two different Rapalas. I throw the X-Wrap and the, I don't know the colors, the gold, obviously with the best color water, and then the one that's the green color, the light green back with the silver.
Yeah, the OG.
Yeah. And then I throw the old school F-11. That's my baby. The chrome and black. That'll get those snook every time. Just make sure you have a light enough drag, you don't straighten the hook.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And all the reds are coming on the Gulf. I'm throwing the jerk shad. They like the new penny and they like the sardine. It's the two colors I throw. So, been doing a lot of that. A lot of the offshore fishing really going off as far as the bottom is concerned.
Hang on just a minute. So, going out in the Gulf of Mexico, have you been primarily bottom fishing or doing a mixed bag?
Mixed bag, depending on the day. I've been doing a lot of amberjack. The permit have slowed down. They're still around, but they have slowed down. The permit bite was ridiculous.
Well, let's delve into this here just a little bit. So you're doing permit. Are you kind of doing that while you're bottom fishing?
Yeah, I pull up to a wreck. Generally, start off heavy chumming for amberjack. And then the permit tend to surface and show themselves while you're there. And as long as you've got the crabs in the well, you're ready to catch them. Because when they show up on the surface, they're feeding. So it's just a matter of putting a crab in front of them and reeling them in.
Now, how's the bottom fishing been? I know you were starting to get into that when I interrupted you, but I was kind of curious about what else was going on. So what's going on bottom fishing?
Bottom fishing's good. The red grouper, lots of red grouper out there. Obviously, bait is everywhere, so it's easy to catch. You can catch the heck out of the red groupers and the snappers, lane snappers, mangrove snappers are everywhere. So, I mean, it's been pretty stellar. I'll be on the Gulf again tomorrow, running outside to see what we can play with. But it's been real good. I tell you, this is the time of year, if you're a fisherman, this is the time of year to be a fisherman.
What's your telephone number if somebody wants to hire you? This guy's actually a real captain and all that, licensed and everything. What's your phone number, Billy?
Area code 941-697-4419. And if I'm not there, I have a machine.
Okay. You got a website?
I do not have a website.
All right. Not a problem. We'll put your I'm going to have your name and your phone number up on this recording. So all around, you know, a lot of people thinking the fishing got really bad, but we're seeing it really come back. And I think, you know, by the end of August, this is going to be some spectacular fishing. As we get into September, October, I think the fishing is just going to go off the chain because it's been really good right now. I mean, well, it just did a 90 degree on us.
Oh, I agree with you. The fishing was really tough. Well, let me rephrase that. The redfish fishing has been really tough all summer. And I don't know the cause of that. There's a lot of different theories out there that are running around, but nobody really knows the facts.
I can tell you the two facts that I know of. Number one, we have red tides every year during the spawn, and that reduces the number of redfish. There's less tournaments right now. There's less of a lot of the stuff than there was 2, 3, 4 years ago. And they may have been contributing factors back then. And whether you close the season or leave the season open, it's not going to do any good at all unless we can go through a fall with no red tide.
I would agree 100% with you. I agree 100%. Red tide is an issue that is very near and dear to my heart, and I don't comprehend how the powers that be don't see or understand basic science.
Well, everybody's talking about we need to close the season on this and do that. Look what it did for the snook. And I can promise you, it had the closed seasons on snook may have helped 5 or 10%, but that had nothing to do with the overall numbers because people still caught them, released them. You know, you still have a certain amount of mortality. But they had lucky spawning seasons. We got rain right before the spawning season, so they moved out to the salt water where they have to be. The eggs float, they survive. If the rains come late, they spawn, the eggs float up, the fresh water hits them, they're not buoyant enough, they sink to the bottom, and the eggs die in the mud. And the exact same thing's going on with the redfish for as far as red tides. You see a few big dead redfish, but you're not seeing the 3 million tiny little redfish that die during that red tide.
I agree with you.
And
I think red tide, and you know, the funny thing is, I go to a lot of the seminars and the stuff for the state and all that stuff, and you know, years ago, it's been 15 years ago or more, I went to a seminar and Moat Marine was there doing a talk on red tide, and they stated that they were able to detect red tide at that time when it was the size of a leaf of a BW bug. Now, if in fact they have that technology, which I don't doubt they do.
Oh yeah, I get the red tide updates all the time, and background concentrations, low, moderate. They know how to detect it.
Right. So why don't they kill it? Copper sulfate will kill it.
All right, here is the one reason why you're not going to see a cure for red tide or a stop. There is a company, a group, or organization, and I won't say which one, that gets several million dollars a year to study red tides.
I believe that.
Well, it's fact. This is a fact.
There's no other explanation.
As long as people are studying it and getting all this money to study it, why would they want it not to be there? Because then they lose millions of dollars a year in study money.
Right. And what the public needs to know is there's a very easy solution. They've been using copper sulfate in aquariums for as long as I can remember. I was using it when I was a little kid, and my dad was using it when he was a little kid. It kills red tides instantly, and it stops all the effects of red tides immediately on all fish. Now, microorganisms are screwed. It kills all the microorganisms. But if you're dealing with an area the size of a VW bug, it doesn't take long for the ocean to replenish an area that size with all the microorganisms that need.
What has to happen is this group who's studying red tide wants, I don't remember if it's 25 or 50% of all the money that whatever company, if a company comes up and wants to test something with red tide in it, they are required to give them a percentage, either 25 or 50% of all their profits to make up for the money they would lose by studying it.
That's incredible.
Oh, that's fact.
It's incredible fact, but yeah. Incredible nonetheless.
So, you know, I go back and forth, you know, with a lot of this stuff and watching what's going on with it and how it's going and what they're doing. And it's the same can be said true about many of the other things with diseases and blights and plagues. The more people get paid to study it, the less likely they are to allow somebody to cure it or stop it. So, anyway,
I agree with you.
But there's the little downer for the day. The good news is, getting back to it, according to the last Red Tide report I got, we're not seeing any. Now, the next month is going to be critical. If we can make it through September and October with no red tides, we're looking at next year seeing a lot of small fish, and the year after, a huge amount of slot fish. This is what's going to tell the story. But if we get another red tide, say in October, it ain't going to happen again. We're going to have less red fish this year, next year, than we did this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. They got to figure it out. And I think the elephant in the room, we all know, is the way that the water flows through the state. They gotta put it back to where Mother Nature wanted it to be.
Well, I've argued for years that if they gave me a crew, a backhoe, barges, I can increase the fish populations in Charlotte Harbor by 30-40% within 4 years. And all I need is a backhoe and a crew and permission to go put everything back the way it needs to be. This isn't, it's not hard to do.
No, not rocket science.
No, habitat is habitat. We need to farm these areas and work them the same as a farmer. Because you take a farmer and he's going to grow corn. He needs to grow a lot of it. He makes everything good for growing corn. And if he's going to grow rice, they want everything good for growing rice. We want to grow and make fish. We cannot let nature do it because we have limited nature to this square mile or this square area. And before they had everywhere to go, but now we live there and we've taken over most of this stuff. So if you're going to do it, you have to do it as a farm, not as a wildlife sanctuary, because the one thing I'm absolutely positive of, I can go walk in the middle of the woods and see almost no birds or animals or anything, but I can go step out my front yard and there's flocks of ibises, there's everything's there in town, because we maintain it, we keep it good. That's the whole key behind this.
I don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm doing a little adjustment here, so things might get a little funky. Hopefully they'll get better here. I don't know. I'm still trying to rearrange. I have no idea who would touch my settings. I get everything set and then everything goes crazy on me. So anyway, I'm just going to put up a chain across this and not allow anybody back here. So anyway, let's go back into some of the fishing. And as you're getting into the fishing, it has been different. I think the fishing has been pretty good, but maybe not for what you wanted to fish for, like redfish. But there's been a lot of snook. There's been a lot of these other creatures, other fish.
And I agree.
I think the biggest problem is people wanted to fish for a certain fish in a certain spot. And
correct.
I think if they would have just moved down, up or down a ways. And now, right now, with the warm water, the hot water, all the fresh water coming down the river, I don't fish up here much. I'm going out to Bull Bay, the Intercoastals, Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound, the lower part of the West Wall, because there's more fish there at this time of year. In a month or two, we should be able to go to Hog Island or Rocky Creek or the upper West Wall and catch a lot of fish. But for right now, you've got to go where the water's saltier and cooler.
Yep. And, you know, I agree with, you know, the problem is people get into that mindset of, I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to go here and do it. Because that's where I did it last year and that's what I'm going to do. And it just doesn't work like that. It's an ever-changing environment with ever-changing. You know, I always tell people, fish have fins. They swim. You know, they don't sit there on an anchor. They swim.
Time, speed, and distance.
That's it. they're going to be somewhere.
So you know, you've been doing pretty good. I mean, I've been hearing great reports from you all summer long. You know, people have been out fishing with you and stuff. And you haven't really slowed down, but you weren't able to go for specifically what you wanted to go, but you've been finding fish pretty steady all along. But do you think it's just because you're willing to go to new areas, areas you haven't been to in a long time?
Well, that and try new areas, places I've never been. You know, I fished a lot of stuff this year that I've never laid eyes on before, you know, because I just, if it's not working where you are, you got to go where it is. So you get out the old Google Earth and you start looking and you say, okay, this looks like it's going to be good. Let's go check it out.
All right.
And you go spend a day, maybe not even catching fish, maybe just looking, but you go find them.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's something. If you're interested in doing it, in September on the 12th and 13th, we have our fishing club meeting. And what I'm looking for is somebody who's willing to pick a spot, take some pictures of it, pictures of you holding a snook, and the lure you used or the bait you used, and then come and tell the people at the fish club where that spot is, and take some pictures of it, and then tell me, and I'll get the satellite stuff and everything together on it. So we can tell them exactly where to go, what to use, and how to do it to catch snook at the next fishing club meeting. If you're interested in doing that, just let me know, because I got one more spot available. Right now I've got me, Robert, Carl, and Cale are all going out to take pictures. I'm going to go a couple of piers and maybe a boat spot, but keep in mind, you are going to be telling people exactly where to go, what bait to use, and how to do it at these spots, and we're going to discuss it. We've got the big screen, the projector, and all this cool stuff that hooks
right
to the computer now. If you're interested in doing that, we'd love to have you at the fish club meeting.
Well, if you do it in October, I'm interested, but actually
now,
that week that you're doing it, I will be in Colorado, so I can take pictures in Colorado and send them to you.
There you go.
It won't be a snook.
Well, what we're doing in October...
It'll be a trout.
Yeah, what we're doing in October is we're going to be doing fishing in the Gulf. I've been getting some pictures from some diver friends of mine of different types of hard bottom wrecks, reefs, what to look for. So we're going to actually show people, and I'm going to be doing some stuff that shows how far out the spot is, what the coordinates are, you know, from
right
the different passes and stuff. And that's going to be all done for October. So, but September's all about the snook.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to be in the mountains catching trout, hopefully.
Oh, I hope it's going to be great. I love fish. Where are you going in Colorado?
Well, I'm flying into Denver because I got family that lives there. And then he's picking me up and taking me wherever we go.
Yeah. I love the Gunnison. I love Mount Crested Butte area up there. I love the Upper Taylor, the Lower Taylor, the potholes. There's a beautiful little lake slash pond on top of Henry Mountain, but you got to go up by horseback. I mean,
I was going to say, he's got me going. He told me about a lake that we're going to go fish. We got to fish it at night, he said. We're fishing for big browns. I don't know the name of the lake though. But he's got a whole plan, and I'm leaving it in his hands because this will be my first time ever doing it. So,
well, if you come by the store, I'll get you a couple of lures. And what you want is rainbow trout patterns, because trout love eating rainbow trout. That's one of their favorite foods. And I've done amazingly well out there on Rapala, rainbow trout colored Rapalas.
Well, we're going snooty style. We're doing it all with the buggy whip. So,
well, trust me, I might have an old three-piece a nice three-piece spinning rod I can loan you to take with you, and just take a little reel, and I'll get you a casting bubble. And that way, if you get to some of these lakes and they just want to do flies, you can actually take that fly, throw it across the lake, and bring it back with a casting bubble. I'll show you how to do it. It's real easy.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I've
like I said, it's all new to me. I've never, I'm a Florida boy,
I used to guide out there, so.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, this is going to be an experience for me. Never done anything like it, and my cousin has begged me for years to go up there, so this is the year.
Well, you're going to have a ball. I love it up there. You know, I've done the Roaring Fork, the Frying Pan. I've done, I think, 4 of the 5 Golden Streams and all that. Absolutely love it, all the way from Montana down through New Mexico. So, excellent. I get a little claustrophobic in the mountains, though. I'm used to Florida, where I can just see forever, you know.
Right, yeah, well.
I stand on my porch and I can see till the distance stops. In Colorado, you know, you look and then there's a mountain there. It's like somebody put a wall in front of me.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait. I'm taking the camera and I'm going to see what there is to see, you know. It's going to be pretty cool. We're going to do probably 3 days. We're going to do a 3-day camping situation where we're up in the mountains and maybe taking a drift boat down the river and camping every night.
Well, I'm going to look forward to it. When you get back, give me a call, and we'll do a whole show about what happened to you out there in Colorado and take some pictures. We'll put it up with that, okay?
That'd be cool. I'm afraid I'm going to freeze to death.
Nah.
Oh, goodness. Anything under 80 is cold to me, so I might die.
Yeah, one of the things you want to do, though, is, in Florida, you're not used to it, but I grew up in far north, almost, you know, northern Wisconsin, and, very cold, but you put on 2-3 little jackets so you can take them off, because all of a sudden, it's going to be 70 degrees, and the sun's shining, and it's hotter than heck. Then all of a sudden, a cloud comes over, and you get what they call popcorn snow. It's like hail, and it just comes down over everything, and then all of a sudden, it's gone, and then the next thing you know, it's just... And you're going to be shocked at how hot 70 degrees is in the mountains.
Yeah, that's what he keeps telling me. So I hope he's right, because I don't want to die.
Oh, you're going to have a ball. All right. Last thing, what advice would you have for just somebody going out this weekend who just wants to catch some fish and have some fun? Any particular area or bait or lure?
Lures and baits are pretty subjective to what you like to throw. I'm the guy that says throw what you're most comfortable with. I mean, I am a Rapala fan. My favorite of all lures is Rapala's. So, I recommend.
Just got to tell you, the new Rapala Ripstop, Bill, you've got to have one. Oh my God. This is my new favorite lure. I love this thing. I just had I've had two lure companies, and they're both showing me stuff, and I'm like, yeah, okay, big deal. Well, okay, a big deal, because it's just kind of different colors of what they've already had and stuff like that. And here, Rapala comes out with this Ripstop that is awesome. I mean, Bill, you're going to love this lure.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I love most everything Rapala puts out.
You know,
for sure.
I'll show it to you. I'm going to save you a green and silver, because this is going to be your new favorite lure.
I'm going to be up there sometime this week, because I got a reel that needs some line before I'm going to the Keys at the end of the month, so I got to put line on a reel before I get up there.
When you look at the Rapala display, go all the way to the right, and on the bottom corner, there's about 6 of them there. So look at all the Rapala, go all the way to the right, and on the bottom right-hand corner, you're going to see 6 little lures there, and I guarantee it's going to be your new favorite lure.
I'm down. So as far as location is concerned, I'm fishing in the harbor, for snook. If you want to catch a snook, they're in the harbor. Anywhere the water current, I like fishing outgoing tides. Anywhere that water gets pinched down through a little creek or a cut or something that creates an extra current coming off of a point, those are the main places to look for. And there's hundreds of thousands of those all up and down the east side of the harbor and the west side of the harbor, that you can fish them anywhere. And I'm sure that PGI canals are loaded up with them. I've not been over to catch them, but I'm sure, given the circumstances, that it's loaded over there.
It's okay. It's not wonderful yet. It's the water's a little hot. A lot of fresh water over there, so there's snook there. But boy, it's hard to get them to bite. It's a really early thing. I mean, the 3 hours before daybreak to about 2 hours after daybreak.
Yeah.
You've got a small window over there where it's really cool enough where those fish get pretty active.
Yeah, that middle of the day deal this time of year is tough.
Yeah.
It is tough. You got to look for that cooler moving water for sure.
I mean, you're 100% right about the snook being there. It's just the guys I'm talking to, really getting out there at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning is, you know, the prime time to be there. Same thing at the 41 bridge. Everything's lighting up. And, but that's going to change as soon as we get a cool spell or cold front comes through.
Right. Back. Yep. My bet for the weekend, if I'm going to go out to just play, I would be on the water probably 30 minutes before daylight, and I'd get over to the either the east side or the west side, and I'd look for those pods of tarpon, and I'd be playing with those little guys. They're one of my most favorite things to catch, and there's hundreds of them all over the harbor. So
and
you could find you a little pod that's probably unmolested by any other boat and sit there and catch them.
All right, and if you want to get a hold of Captain Billy and go out for a charter, his phone number is going to be, you know, obviously you'll see it when you click on it to listen to the show, but that's Billy's phone
number. There you go.
So, all right, well, I'm going to let you go. I really appreciate the reports, and thank you so much. And tell the family I said hi. I haven't seen Sydney in forever. Wish her the best. So, anyway, we'll talk to you later. I saw your son the other day. God, that kid's getting tall.
Yeah, I know. They're no longer kids anymore.
You cannot deny that one. I mean,
no.
That is your son. He's awesome. What a nice, the wife ran into him. He was leaving the store, and she pulled up out back. She was walking in while he was walking out. She was commenting to me how great your son is.
He's a pain in my butt.
Yeah, but I can tell you, kid's awesome.
That's their job, though, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I got that. You know, I have my own, and I know all about that. But
I agree 100%. But
your kid's,
you know,
awesome, man.
Thank you, sir.
Can't say
I
enough about
it.
So, all right,
my friend. Listen, tight lines to everybody. Call me if you want to go catch them.
Okay, well, this is Fish and Frank, and that was Captain Billy, and there's supposed to be music here. It probably is. And let's see, there it goes, I think. All right, well, that was Captain Billy Hoffman, and you call him at 941-697-4419, and he'll take you out. You're going to have a ball fishing. So, anyway, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye, everybody.